Yiggity.
Howdy do.
And welcome to another episode of Sporting Goods. I'm your boy, Wig.
And it's your boy, Trav. What's up, what's up, what's up? What's going on today?
Not much, man. I know it's been a while, dog, but we got to get back to the topics, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah, we've been missing for a little minute, you know, getting
It's
this stuff
so much.
together.
Yeah, so much to talk about right now, man. There's a lot going on in the world, especially in the world of sports, kid.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Hey, looks like I was kind of correct with a lot of the free agency moves, but
Yeah, you was on a point with almost everything, and I missed out on almost everything.
before we talk about that though, let's talk about you heard about that old Area 51 raid that they're trying to do? Man, I wouldn't advise that. All you people out there that's thinking about going to Area 51, doing a Naruto running type, already, hey man, they got big guns. I wouldn't go over there if I were you guys.
I mean, to be honest, man, I don't think it's safe, but I think it'll be extremely entertaining to see what the results would be. I mean, I'm not trying to say people putting themselves on suicide missions is funny, but at the same time, this is the world of social media. It will make great memes to spread around.
And you know what's crazy? Like I really, I saw one of the memes. Let's all team up and run there like the Great Ninja War Naruto, and like that junk. It would look like a war because they're gonna be shooting everybody running.
Yeah.
They're gonna be shooting at them. Then
I'm
what?
surprised you're not going, cause aren't you a Naruto fan?
Yeah, I'm gonna watch the show, but I'm not. I'm gonna sit here and watch that
Oh,
war
come
too.
on. You told me Naruto's better than Dragon Ball Super, so like you gotta stick by your words,
Yeah.
man.
Hey, listen, man. I'm kind of still gonna stick by.
Nah, you ain't got no
Dragon Ball
belief.
Super. They got gods in that now. So now it's like god damn. So now they gods now. Like, but Naruto is not. It's historical. Revolution type stuff. But anyway,
I'm actually rooting for him, man. Like, I know people, like, if this was to happen for real, and I know that, because Area 51, they're more protected than the White House. I mean,
exactly.
they
So
got alien technology in their hands, so.
yeah, so that's why I'm kind of afraid. Like, I don't want to see anybody die. I'd rather them do, the whole Men in Black thing and what do they call them? When they flash the light in their eyes and
That might happen, though.
neutralize them. I'd rather them neutralize them than shoot them and murder them. But
Hey, yeah, that might. We don't know what type of technology, man. They got the Transformers there. They got Alf there.
exactly. Like that would be. They got Paul. You remember the movie, the little alien Paul?
Yeah, E.T.,
Yeah,
Wally,
they got a couple of them guys
Saiyans,
there. Shoot, they
and
probably have clones.
Vegeta,
They probably have like
Goku.
100 Trumps there. They probably don't want to see it that they clone Trump and all the other
And
presidents
Martin
that
Luther
they.
King and all them
Yeah,
boys, yeah.
Tupac.
They got concerts in Area 51.
You got Bob there, Bob Marley concerts, Tupac, Michael Jackson. Everybody, oh, so this for all the
Don't
damn.
know what the hell going on over there, but somebody need to find out. So I am rooting for them, to be real,
Yeah,
man.
they probably got some mermaids too, and stuff like that.
Oh shit! Speaking of mermaids, boy, you see the reaction of Black Twitter and
Oh
White Twitter
God! Oh
over
man!
Black Ariel?
Oh man! I don't even
So, I
know.
mean, so
I
whose
don't even.
side you on with this one?
I don't even know what to say anymore. Like I, you know what? First, with Aladdin, we had a problem with,
They had a problem with Will.
the black genie.
Yeah.
The genie's blue, so
He's fucking blue.
he can't even say he's black. So what you trying to say now? Like, oh, they saw pigmentation in the make-believe character that he decided to become to be safe in the
Hey,
walk around of the worlds. Okay, I guess. Yeah.
white people is tired of Disney cultural appropriating the art. You know, these Disney cartoons were made for white people in the eyes of white people, and they want their shit back. They don't like it on the other side of the
Do
fence, and that's.
white people know that I'm just gonna put this out there. When Beauty and the Beast was created, you
Right.
know what time frame that was?
Well, in the 80s.
No, a little bit further back. Probably like the, not, I'm not saying the actual when the movie was created. I'm talking about the time frame of when the Beast and you know, back in the day, medieval times and blah, 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 you know, it was Spaniards. That was around the Spaniards age. So
yeah, but that's Spaniards is still European, and European history is white history. So I mean they're okay with like the Spaniards, you know, getting their shine. So, they're so not they okay.
They're okay with Spanish people they're okay with white people playing Spanish people, but they're not okay with black people playing Arabic people.
No, because it's not necessarily black in Arabia. It's Disney, and Disney in their eyes is made for them, and we just so happen to tag along to see it. Uh-oh. When I hear from other people and I hear their reactions, you know, I don't quickly come up with my own. You know, I try to hear both sides of the story, and what I'm starting to realize is like they kind of have a point of being like pissed off in a sense, because if it was our art that was being culturally appropriated for white people or any other race, and when I say art, I do mean like black people, because we are black people on this show. But like, say for instance, if it was our art that was like, okay, you know, we made so many stuff for black people, we got to start like recreating our stuff, and you know, adding a couple of white people in the main roles, we'll be hot. You know what I'm saying? Our audience be hot. And it's a tribal thing. Like we try to take away the fact that, you know, we are different people. We are black people and white people and Arabian people and Chinese people and Asian people and whatnot. And we try to mix it up and say that we're one whole race when we're not. Dude, we are tribal people and we do want things of our own. I think we should respect each other's culture.
Wig, I'm going to have to give you a big boo on that one, sir. Boo!
Why is that? Go ahead. What's your response on it, dog?
Listen, man. They've been culturally appropriating us for the times of all times.
Right.
They stole hip-hop from us. They stole soul food from us, even though they still don't use seasoning. They stole our comedy. They practically stole almost everything from us. Even down to the film making. So for them to, you know, feel some, yeah, you could feel some type of way, but it's gonna happen. And regardless of the fact that you feel some type of way, this shows some sign of unity. I guess that you were trying to say previously when you took all of our art forms and made it your own. Oh, we're trying to show unity, but saying that we did it first. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot. So you're going to have to sit here and accept that you're going to have a black, beautiful, red-haired mermaid that possibly is possible if mermaids existed. I'm sorry to say. The mermaids, if they do exist, were made in the Caribbean. Where? In the Caribbean? By Bahamas. You know, where the hurricanes naturally occur, they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, folklore tales say this.
I hear you.
Around the Haiti area. And, you know, those countries are predominantly black.
So, yeah. I get exactly what you're saying. My whole thing is, all right, this is a fantasy world. The Disney World period, it's all based on fantasy, the whole Pixar. And my whole thing is, okay, I get it. You want more black representation in the mainstream. Why do black people always have to support the white corporation for having their own? You know what I mean? Like, we had plenty of superheroes, and I know most of them was comical, and Meteor Man and Blank Man and Blade or whatnot. But still, we have our own. We had people trying to create a media black-owned and black race, but we don't support those films. But we're rushing in staggering numbers and herds to support, you know, Disney, Pixar, and Warner Brothers when they put a black person on. And that's what's not making sense, because we want Disney to rewrite all of their movies and add on black main stars, you know, just for us to feel better, when we could simply plagiarize their work. We could make our own Little Mermaid and call it Black Girl Magic in the Ocean. You know what I mean?
But they'll sue us if we.
No, they won't. They can't.
You have to look at it this way. All right.
They don't own the Mermaid World to sue us, though. Like we'll have to.
They don't own the Mermaid World to sue us. Of course not. But okay. It's the recreation of the regular film. So basically, like Lion King that comes out today.
Uh huh.
It's the recreation of the film that happened 20 years ago. I want to say, probably.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, in Lion King, not a lot of people know. Those actors that played the actual animals, the voiceovers,
yeah,
it was. I want to say it was 60-30 black and white characters.
I get that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this: Lion King, the original movie, is a plagiarized film based off another Lion movie, and I forgot the name of that one.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah. So you can have the same basis. They don't own whoever created the first one do not own the Safari World. That somebody say, you know what? I kind of want to do a similar movie, but with different characters, different names, different music. We could do the same damn thing. We could make a mermaid movie, and it don't have to be Little Mermaid.
Well, you know what I mean? You gotta remember,
but
it's all a clout thing. So. Let me give you an instance, and I'm not going to use Lion King today. I'm going to use, Blank Man. Yeah, we'll go with Blank Man. So, yeah, the Waynes are a wide-known figure, correct?
Right.
So that means they...
They're black historical. They're black historical.
So they recreate Blank Man and... their mindset, because it's to their right, correct? So now we have a... Who's the white family I can kind of say?
Go with the Baldwin brothers.
I was going to use them. The Baldwin brothers or whatever. And they create See-Through Man or, something of the sort, geeky white, unknown guy.
And we won't be able to do shit about it because it's not Blank Man. It's not the actual script.
But
it's
you
not...
have to realize Blank Man was known to the black culture as well as some of the white culture. So now, what movie you going to believe is going to sell out more? Even though probably both of them are going to be low budgeted films, but what I'm saying is Blank Man will be respected because he was already known. It was a figure.
But be respected in what sense, though? It's not going to be respected. It's not. That movie was made about 20 years ago. So whatever movie that's coming out right now is what's going to be respected. Shit, we just, as a matter of fact, black people just recreated a white movie and put their own spin on it. With the little girl from Blackish.
I can't even think of
the movie.
Little. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Little. That's the name of it. Little.
And they did what was it? Was it Freaky Friday? No, I won't say Freaky Friday.
But... No, and then Taji Henson just did another movie where she recreated the movie where Mel Gibson was able to read the minds of women. She's able to read the minds of a man. So, like, everybody plagiarized. This is all of our movies are movies that that's already been created in the 70s and in the 80s and the 90s. And now we're just recreating it. When I say we, I mean we as a people now.
Yeah,
we are recreating it and making more money from old films. You can do it. So the whole uproar about, it's crazy because we hated it when we came out with Black Lives Matter. And then white people came out with All Lives Matter, and then Blue Lives Matter. Then we hated it when we came out with I Can't Breathe, and then white people came out with I Can Breathe, thanks to NYPD. we hate when they
put a spin on us.
Yeah, and smothering our face into our agony, and then we go back and do the same damn thing. It's like black people and white people together are culturally petty. They're petty as fuck. And it kind of gets like a nuisance. Like it gets overwhelming, and and old, dog. The talk about a fantasy world and just want to be like, you know what? Black people can do it too. And then, no, it's a white person movie. I want my mermaid white. It's like, both of y'all shut the hell up, nigga. Just enjoy the damn movie, dog.
Really shit. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break.
And... No, hold on. Before we go on a break, let's talk about one more thing when it comes to women. Oh, since we are on mermaids right now, and let's just congratulate our U.S. women's soccer team
Congratulations.
I do want to throw that in before we get to like the NBA topics and stuff.
I want to also thank the U.S. soccer women for giving me a lot of money to live off.
Hey, you put everything in better perspective, but yeah, true that, man. We got shout out to
them.
The pocket.
I appreciate them.
Our pocket shot them out as well, but yeah, they showed class as well as an entertaining show. Yeah, World Cup and a show on TV, and I do think they need their due diligence when it comes to being paid respectively. It's no way in hell the men's soccer team, who did not perform that well, who's not that entertaining, are paid by two, almost three times more than our women's soccer team, who put up numbers. I mean, like, they are a global figure, our U.S. soccer team, from swag to talent to athleticism. They are a global figure, and they do need to deserve fair dues when it comes to their paycheck.
All right, congratulations, ladies.
And true that.
Keep it up.
Snap the finger, because that's poetry, what they be doing on themselves.
Yeah, okay. Keep it up.
You don't know how to say congratulations no more?
No, I did say congratulations. I meant to say keep it up. So we should stay on top. You have to good thing on top of, you know, the soccer. Because right now, we're killing the game right now.
True that. All right, well, let's go on break, and then, you know, we'll come back with the NBA free agencies and the NBA old players trying to come back to life with a brand new team.
All right.
All right, and welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that little 4-second musical intermission. Right now, we're going to get into the sporting parts of the Sporting Goods podcast. And that's talking about the NBA. First thing first, we would like to talk about NBA players that was left for dead, coming back like zombies, trying to make another NBA championship run. The two main ones
Was that a Walking Dead reference?
Not necessarily a Walking Dead reference, but I mean, that show itself have so many hidden gems when it comes to how the world runs and how humans act in their appropriate countries and whatnot. And yeah, we do act like a bunch of zombies, herding to the same noise and not even realizing that we are. But Amari Stoudemire and Monte Ellis is showcasing their talent, or what's left of it, for teams who can make an NBA championship run. Do you think anybody, and I'm going to give you I would say the top six teams that I believe that have a chance of winning the championship, starting off in the East, Milwaukee, Celtics and the 76ers, and then in the West you have Rockets, Lakers, and Clippers. Do you think any of these teams will pick up these two players?
All right, so I'll start with the East and say, first off, Milwaukee, when they have the analytic stats to add Amari Stoudemire, because he'll be dead in the paint with Lopez and Giannis. With the guard play of Monte Ellis, I believe Monte will be a more so weaker Jamal Crawford, way weaker. So his offensive play, he'll probably get a good 9-10 points, but defensively he's gonna be murdered. And that no team in the East could afford him. We're not going to say as in money-wise, but like afford that type of play from him. So the Sixers, who needs more shooting and I don't believe he still has a shooting touch, but I won't count him out because he is an NBA player. But that wouldn't have pushed them over the edge to win a championship. So no for the Sixers, no for Milwaukee, because even though they lost Brogdon, that gaining an Ellis is no, you know, no plan B. That's right. More like a plan C or D. So it's, yeah, no for Milwaukee. And the last team in the East, you said,
76ers, the Celtics, and Milwaukee.
See, the Celtics, I don't even count them as a top seed in the East. I count them, they're, sorry to say, even though you don't like to hear me say it, they're like in the same rankings as Orlando right now. And I see Orlando as a 5th, 6th. I'm being honest.
How do you always add Orlando in our shows? Like, I'm not understanding this,
I'm but I'm being honest, for the fact that their roster hasn't changed and there's a multiple changes, the chemistry wise, I'm gonna give Boston a seeding of the 4 through 6, right where, you know, Orlando is 4 through 6 seeding, 5, 6, 7 seeding. And
we ain't gonna turn this conversation about Orlando, but we'll talk about it later if you want to, dog.
No. What I'm saying is the 3rd seed in the East, and I'm trying to still, you know, kind of put them in the rankings of getting a Ellis. And the 3rd, I'll put Indiana in the 3rd seeding because of the Brogdon pickup and the Oladipo coming back. And, yeah, it's too much. It's too much guard play for Indiana to need a Ellis. And the West seeding, L.A., yeah, they can use him. They can, but him working in that offense that needs drastic shooting, and he's a B.C. three-point shooter to me, at least to me. Yeah, playing with LeBron, I can see them putting them over the top a little bit, but that's on a minimum, super minimum role. Super. Uh-huh. Like 8 minutes per game role. Eight, 9 minutes. Because he doesn't help their defense at all. And I'm looking at that roster in LA. And no pun on you're still calling him the best player in the world. Like, he doesn't really play defense all day. He'll give us 60% defensive wise. And only person I'm looking on that roster that plays consistent defense is Rondo, AD, you know.
So he's basically saying that he won't be a fit for none of these 6 teams.
No, I'm not saying that he won't. Pretty much, it's a fit there. It's just not over the edge fit.
Like, does it matter? Like, does it matter for him to actually be on the roster? Period. Like,
what's true? Then?
Will you use a veteran minimum to have Monte Ellis on the roster to help out your team, not just to be on it, but to actually help out and do some damage?
I feel like he can more so do a player's coach standpoint, even though that's never been him in his career. Like, he's never been that type of player. He's always, to me, and as well as for Amari, it's always been those guys always been me players to me.
All right.
So it's putting Amari at a player's coach, you know, standpoint, it's going to be difficult because him putting Amari in a Laker jersey right now, there's no big spaces for him. Like, there's not gonna be much playing time, but I can see him helping a la Boogie Cousins, a la, you know, AD to become the best, you know, post players of their you know, careers because of him teaching them.
All right, so this is how I feel about it. Right now, Monte Ellis is 33, I believe, and Amari Stoudemire is about 37. They're both players in their prime, or just them being NBA players. The NBA players are pure athleticism. Amari Stoudemire was one of the high jumping, more agile post players in his time. Mm-hmm. He ended his career with the Heat in 2016, and it wasn't a good showing. Like, he only got like 11 minutes a game, probably averaged about 5 points a game, and he looked like a dinosaur 3 years ago. So him being on the championship run team, I'm not buying it at all. Like, he could possibly still, I'm not even gonna say possibly. I seen Dirk Nowitzki play last year. So Dirk Nowitzki could play that many minutes last year. Amari Stoudemire could play for some team and get some minutes, but he's not gonna be effective. So I'm just gonna throw him out, period. Because last time I seen him play in the league, he wasn't effective at all. And I don't think he is a cognitive player. Who can see the game and coach it and teach it. Him being in the league was predominantly based off athleticism. And then Monte Ellis was the fastest guard before John Wall came in, before we had Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook. He was those type of players, you know, minus the hops. And I never seen him being a cognitive player as well. However, him being at 33, I think he still have some athleticism left in the tank. I don't see a full season of being great or even a full season of being good. I see spurts of him being able to play like little 5 minute spurts to give your main guards a break. And he could keep up that pace because I still think he got some speed. Like, I still have speed at the age of 32. I know my shit tied up after the third run, the third up and down, but you know, I still got my, college and then high school speed in spurts. So I think he could still be effective.
But you also got to remember, with those same college spurts you get for like three runs, you know, that's three runs of 8 baskets or 10 baskets a game. So he has to do this for 82 games. Well, you know, I'm not
going to say 82. Yeah, but I mean,
he's going to do it for probably like 60 games, 40, 60, like, 55 games.
Like, when I said with Stoudemire last year was in 16 for the Heat, and he didn't play much. Matter of fact, he didn't play many games. I think he only played like 30-something, 40-something games. With Monte Ellis, he's younger, and then his last year playing was in 2017 for the Pacers, mm-hmm. and his last year playing was 70-something games. Like, he's never had injury problems. He's always played 81 games, 82 games, 70-something games. His lowest game was like 30-something, I guess. That was an injured season back in 2015, 2016, somewhere around that time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, around that, you know, he played with all that athleticism, all that speed, and played full seasons. So I think he have a better chance, his body have a better chance of holding up for a decent team. I just don't think his athleticism is good enough to actually make great impact for, like, a whole game sustained. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like I think Monte Ellis have a better chance of making a championship run with the team on a veteran's minimum than Amari Stoudemire. I think Amari Stoudemire kind of fooling himself.
All right, so how do you feel about Dwight Howard? Like, him trying to make a comeback as well?
Dwight Howard have a horrible stigma about him as far as being a teammate, and I think like you've seen his own interviews recently, right?
Yeah, I've seen. Oh yeah, I've definitely seen it.
Yeah, so, like, I think he's trying to change the narrative about him so he can actually get on a decent team and not just be on anybody's team, like how he's been, like, with the past two runs with Atlanta and Washington Wizards. But I really think he's trying to change the stigma. Like, he actually apologized, but thanked Kobe Bryant for calling him soft. Like he's going above and beyond to repair the damage that his NBA profile have.
Oh yeah, Kobe saw the softness in him because a lot of people, that person that he says he doesn't know, they left him a lot about him.
I mean, like, see, and that's a problem with the world because, like, you know, it's crazy. Now this is a perfect time to bring up Orlando Magic. You know, they have a tendency of drafting or at least occupying homosexual activities on their roster.
Who else? Name somebody else.
The first person to come out in the NBA, Amadio or something like that. It was a Spanish guy.
Oh, that's the, my man.
He was y'all power forward. He was y'all power forward, dude. He was the first. He was the first NBA player to come out.
Did he average more than 15 points?
He was on the Orlando Magic roster. Average over 15 points?
Shut up.
I was just saying, like, do the team itself average over 15 points? But I know for a fact that the first gay person to come out, and this was around the time when most of the this is like a year before Michael Sam. This was around the time the boxer came out. This is around the time Anderson Cooper came out. That this Orlando player came out, and then about a year later, Jason Collins came out, who played for the Brooklyn Nets, and I think he had a stint in Orlando as well. I'm not mistaken.
Jason Collins, he didn't play. He didn't play for us. He probably was on the roster, but he didn't play.
But Dwight being gay, man, I don't think, like, it's 2019, man. We can't keep
attention. Yeah, even if he is gay, like, or like it, to me, it shouldn't matter. Like, unless it's affecting your teammates, yeah, then it matters the most.
But, yeah, and Dwight have a problem with, like, touching his teammates, you know what I'm saying, private spots, you know, in the middle of a game.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not
video of that guy.
I'm not sure
jokes.
If that was a mistake.
I'm gonna say inappropriate jokes. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Right, he says he's not. He clarified it and said he's not a homosexual. So, you know, his inappropriate jokes went a little bit far.
Sorry about that.
No, it's no problem. His inappropriate jokes went a little bit far to say, you know, yeah, bro, it's mid game. I'm a point guard, and you're a very big center. I don't need you to watch my genitals like a
for real.
Right.
It's like a double whammy. TV. Like first thing first, you're violating my most private spot on my body, and then secondly, you 6'10", 2-something pounds, bro, and I'm only 6'1". So now I gotta fight you. I got to, but I don't want to fight this big dude. You know what I mean? Like it's just a double whammy, man. That's the only problem I have with that. But as far as him, you know, being gay or not being gay, that's not a big issue. Yeah. Like, I don't think it should still be a big issue.
Yes, but I feel like it's hindering him coming back in the league. Like, what team right now could use a out of date center? Like, your position is invalid at this current moment.
I don't think it's possible sexuality. Hinders him. I think it's more about, like, the same thing I said about Monte Ellis and Amari Stoudemire. Him, Dwight Howard, was purely a athletic player. He wasn't a cognitive player. So
yeah.
him trying to make an impact in the league. He's not Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan could have played until he was 50 years old, because
yeah,
he knew
Tim
the
Duncan
game.
Had a mid range jumper and post moves out the yeehaw, Dwight.
And he knew defensive concepts. He knew offensive concepts. He understood space. He understood
Dwight Howard,
timing.
He still knows a little defensive concepts, but his jumping ability is gone. So
he never understood defensive concepts. He was just so athletic that he could leave his assignment and pick up blocking stats and leave his assignment and pick up defensive and offensive rebounds. But he never was actually an S and O's player. He was never that. And that was, you know, that was possibly a problem with him in Orlando, where, you know, they had a team full of athletic players when they was making a run. It just, you know, they didn't really had nobody on the court to visualize and to basically just set the plan apart. Jason Kidd, he was playing until he was old because he knew the game so well. Tim Duncan's another one of them. Chris Paul will still be a elite player today because of his ability to see the floor. And Dwight Howard just don't have that. So I don't think a championship running team will allow him to mess up their chances. And I believe any team that picks him up is not a great pickup. You are basically you're lowering your ceiling, or you're basically making your ceiling more visual. Mm-hmm. There's no more potential after what people believe your ceiling is if you have Dwight Howard on your team.
All right. So, is there any more players that's
coming from dead?
Yeah, or dead, that's all.
Not necessarily. I think there's some players that's playing in China and stuff. They might try to come back towards the States. But I think a lot of them are, you know, are very, very content with where they are. They like the love they get overseas and stuff. So I just believe that it was just those three players. As of right now, you know, the next time we do a podcast, there might be more. Mm-hmm. It's still a long offseason for NBA. But, you know, keeping on the offseason, we missed a lot of the free agency talk.
Yeah,
Kawhi went to the Clippers and took George with him. Nobody knew Paul George.
I didn't say Paul George was coming.
Nobody knew Paul George was done with OKC, but he was. And behind closed, you know, I'm gonna get back on the Kawhi topic later because I want to talk about the power that nobody knew Kawhi had. Kawhi have power.
Kawhi is actually the Thanos of the NBA. Yeah, he is.
The Thanos?
Yeah, I give him the Thanos of the NBA. You gotta look at how many teams he kind of sent back for years. He set them back for years.
Yeah.
So let's start with team number one, which
Miami
is,
Heat.
Yeah, the Miami Heat.
That's the one who he I'm not gonna say himself, but he did.
Yeah, he broke them down. He broke down the big three.
Okay.
And team number two is the Spurs.
I love the move he made with the Spurs, but that was Pop, you know, filling his ego way more than he should.
Yeah, true. And he kind of showed Pop, hey, this is a player league, and sit your coach butt down.
but that was the best move that he could have made because
Denver's career,
you know,
because
if he had stayed with the Spurs and allowed the Spurs organization to map out his career path, we would have known.
He'd have got old very fast. He'd have been old really fast.
I don't think he would have got old fast. I just think that he would never have the power that he have right now. He would never be the Kawhi Leonard of today with the Spurs because Kawhi Leonard of today is a bigger profile than Tim Duncan of his whole career.
Yeah, true. That's true.
And that's simply because he left for 1 year. Tim Duncan stayed under that Spurs organization cloud, and it's always been Coach Pop and the Spurs bigger than Tim Duncan.
Yeah,
and it would have been the same narrative for Kawhi Leonard, but now it's Kawhi Leonard as the mogul, the guy to chase in the NBA instead of it being Spurs and Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And the fourth team that he – well, I apologize. The third team that he
dismantled.
The Toronto Raptors.
He did not kill Toronto Raptors.
Why?
He did not kill them.
There's Toronto right now.
Uh-huh.
They went from – even before having him, they went from a one to three seed to probably now sitting on the outside looking in.
Possibly, wow.
I see them on the outside looking in. They're going to be fighting for an eighth seed because right now their current superstar for that team is PS. But I'm going to give him a name because he kind of deserves it now. Pascal Siakam.
That he kind of deserves it.
Current superstar, and as much as you want to say the point guard Kyrie Lowry, you're not even the great Kyrie Lowry. You're gonna leave
Kyle Lowry.
You're gonna leave Kyle Lowry out. What are you talking about? The great Kyle Lowry is on a decline. Everyone knows it. Everyone sees it. That guy is on a decline. This championship year for him was his peak. So he's on the decline.
So let me just intervene right quick. And the reason why I say he nowhere near killed Toronto. One, Toronto's ceiling was so visible that they had to do something just to get over the hump, and they did. How many championship rings Orlando Magic have since you like throwing them in this mix?
Zero. That's
fine. Oh, they have zero. So you don't think that they would trade in their top player from last year to get Kawhi just to have one?
No.
You say he killed them.
But
that was your exact word.
I'm saying to you.
Okay.
yes, anybody would have risked a 1 year of the best player in the NBA to possibly win a championship than being top four in their conference for the next 6-7 years. Yes, anyone would have done it. But me knowing, if I would have known, dang, I'd got to give up my top player and three first rounds or whatever, my top player and my top fourth or third player and a first round, knowing I'm not going to have neither of them return and sign to my team the next following year. And I know these players I have in a DeMar Rosen or, you know, whatever I gave up.
Okay.
To come back and spend the rest of their career, and possibly it's a lower chance. My chances are probably like 12, 13, 15% of making it to a final rather than a 60, 70% chance of making it to the finals within that one year span, or my 12 to 20% chance of winning it in the next 6-7 years. I'm sorry. I'm a safe guy. I would have went with the safe route and took that 20% chance.
And that's why you're not a GM. That's why you're not an owner. This is a championship, a bust lead. This is no longer the 90s where you could hope that, okay, one day we'll win a championship. We just keep doing things right. No, this lead has changed to this year. We need to make a run. If we can't make a run, okay, we throw our run away and we go back next year. But right, you so need a championship.
So now I'm asking.
And he did not even kill the team. He didn't even kill the team.
I'm going to ask you this. Go ahead. Are the ticket sales going to be the same?
Yes. What? As a matter of fact, they're going to be celebrating that championship for the whole year. And then their team is not sorry. That's what I'm trying to get to you. Their team, they still have the core. They still have the
same
exact. So
name five teams they're better than in the East. And don't you dare say Orlando.
Because they are better than Orlando.
They're what?
They're better than Orlando. Name
do,
a player
do
that.
Do you know who beat Orlando last year? Out of that first round in the playoffs?
The Raptors. And they didn't just beat them. They destroyed them.
I'm sorry. Wig. The first game alone showed you Kawhi didn't play good. They take the L. Kawhi dominates the rest of the series. They sweep. They gentlemen sweep them. Kawhi did it all. Like you cannot sit here and put who are you replacing to play any of those teams in the East? Who is gonna be that man that's gonna average alongside of Pascal Siakam or whoever you want to put as the number one guy? Who's gonna replace those 25-8 or 25-6-2. Who are you gonna put to replace that?
All right, so somebody else have to step up and take, you know, a higher dose of shots. Have the ball in their hands a little bit more.
Give me a name or two.
Pascal Siakam, Marc Gasol. You're making it seem like they don't have talent on that roster, and that's killing me right now because this is not the Cleveland Cavaliers. When LeBron leaves, your whole team is basically leaving because you built your whole team around LeBron.
Marc Gasol is gonna go back to giving us 25 and 12 rebounds. And
are you trying to say Marc Gasol is so far? You trying to say Marc Gasol is that far apart from giving you that numbers?
I'm telling you,
because he's only a half a year removed from giving you that number, a half of year.
Okay, and he's in his what, early 30s, mid 30s? Yeah.
Yes.
Those years are done. Remember what his brother did.
My
and I'm not
gosh.
Saying he is his brother, but his brother had one of those seasons that he went from 25, 12, and 3 or 2 to 15.
And his brother right now can still be a starting forward for the Orlando Magic right now. On, yes, man.
You're being ridiculous. Like
I'm not being ridiculous. Why you think? Why you keep? You the one who think that Orlando is actually good. I'm not being ridiculous. You are, dude.
Will not start over Vuk or
you think right now Orlando Magic is better than
Isaac? Come on,
you right now think Orlando Magic is better than Toronto, better than the defending champs who've had. Even before Kawhi was better than y'all.
Yes, because they had a roster filled out. Now that roster...
They still got a roster filled out. Only two people left.
Two of the main people.
It was not two of the main people, man. Look at the last two games. Of the, like I'm not gonna diminish what Danny Green was for that team. I'm not gonna diminish it. However, he can be replaced. Easily
what
be replaced.
They replace him with? That's what I'm asking you. They had no draft picks. They hadn't.
They drafted. Oh, DeJuan Jimenez. Shout out to Miami Northern Senior High School Coach Lawton. I'm gonna give him a shout out as well for training that young guy. Shout out to University of Miami Hurricanes for allowing him to play those 2 years with him. He's a decent player. I'm not gonna say he's a game changer right now. However, that team still is stacked with talent. They still have talent, bro.
Well, I don't believe in that roster. That roster is, to me, that roster has been gutted and served its purpose.
It's been gutted and served its purpose. Okay, yeah,
that's what I feel. So we're gonna move.
Let's keep it. And then the last team that they demand, or the last team Kawhi diminished was
the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah,
he
didn't even gut them. The only thing he did was allow Kevin Durant an excuse to leave.
Yeah,
everybody else still there, and you know, one of the players is currently still hurt. He will be back. Golden State is not off the map. Golden State still have three more years to be a top four team in the league, not just on the Western Conference.
Yep, yep.
So he already got them.
So what we're going to do now, let's talk about, we're going to quickly talk about the free agency acquisitions beyond Kawhi. We're going to go with the Boogie Cousins to L.A. move. That was, I figured it was expected. You know, he wasn't getting any contracts that of the power that he thought he had. You know, I deserve more money. I showed you that I could still play, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, teams were still looking at him as, yeah, we know you can play, but you got injured again. We need you to do another prove-it year. And what other than an up-and-coming championship-caliber team to prove it on but the Lakers? So I consider that a good move for him. As I did say in our previous podcast, KD and Brooklyn looked solidified with Kyrie. And like I said, I seen them guys teaming up long ago. I didn't see it happening in New York. I saw it in Brooklyn. And the biggest move, the sign-and-trade deal with Jimmy Butler to Miami, that was a wowzer for me. Like, wow. I remember him writing in a, I don't know if it was a Country GQ magazine, that he'll never put on a Miami Heat jersey. And now seeing this guy in a Miami Heat jersey is going to piss me off.
Why is that?
Because I am an Orlando Magic fan. And it's always known that a guard is always one of the reasons why we take an L. Like, we always play against these great guards, and they always want to do a 40, 50-point game on us because of, you know, our guard play. But it is what it is.
Let me jump on the Boogie first. The Boogie thing, I think it was more of a gift. I think Boogie have a respect in this league where people kind of feel sorry for him because they know what he was supposed to be in this league, and they know what tearing your Achilles can do for your career. And I think that, you know, it's just main players and teams out here just trying to get this man a chance.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to get the contract that he thought he was going to get. So signing a 1-year deal just to prove himself again. So hopefully he can sign a big contract. That's a good move by him. I don't think he's going to do much with the Lakers, just like I didn't think he was going to do much with Golden State. Mm-hmm. Then you have the who else you said after that?
Jimmy Butler.
I thought that was the best move in the East because Jimmy fits the Heat as well as the Heat fits Jimmy. They are perfect for each other.
You believe Jimmy Butler to the Heat was better than Kyrie and Durant teaming up in Brooklyn with their roster already?
For the 2019-2020 year, yes, because Durant not going to play, and Kyrie is a roster killer if he's considered the leader of the team. He's a roster killer, and we seen that last year with Boston.
We seen that pre LeBron,
and we also seen it during LeBron when he was like, you know what, I just can't deal with this. I can't deal with being a champion and having real standards and having to live with real standards. So I'm going to leave. He's not a roster team. He's not a leader. So Brooklyn next year is not going to be as good as they were last year. They might still make the playoffs, but they're not going to be as good as they were last year. And Jimmy Butler to the Heat is just as good as the Heat to Jimmy Butler. They fit each other perfectly well. Perfectly well.
So what about the Tobias Harris re-signing and the Al Horford joining them in Philly?
I like Horford joining more than like Tobias Harris re-signing. I think Tobias Harris is a little, just a tad bit overrated on the championship roster. But Al Horford, if they allow his leadership to flourish, only if they allow it, I think the 76ers is going to be a bad team. But if you got Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, you know, fighting tooth and nail, you know, not to take orders or not to take advice from him, then they're going to be in the same situation they was in last year, a whole bunch of me's on the team, and Al Horford won't be able to do what he usually do because, like, Al Horford is great when the team around him is a team. But if the team around him is a bunch of individuals, Al Horford, he's going to be exposed because, I mean, he's not the same player he was in his early years in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I think? I think if you Tobias Harris is a good third player, so if you,
yeah, that's true.
If you I honestly feel like this is another one of my predictions, a later on the season prediction. If you trade Ben Simmons for Chris Paul,
oh my gosh,
yeah, you know, OKC they need a reboot, and Philly needs shooting and guard play. So, I feel like if they trade Ben Simmons and, you know, got two of those draft picks from OKC for Chris Paul, I believe they can they'll be in the finals. They will be in the finals. That's how
they'll be. I mean, I think that'd be a dumb move. I don't believe in trading
youth for
what we know. No, like we know that's gonna be a great future. We know Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid is a great future. I don't believe in trading together.
They don't like they both. Well, Embiid is a better shooter, and Simmons is guaranteed points in the post. But if he doesn't do anything about his shooting, his career is gonna be limited. His career is gonna be
a true statement. Career. As true as that statement is, it is so false because he's only been in the league for 2 years.
Three.
2 years. His first year, he was hurt the whole year. He didn't play not one
game. I still count that. Why haven't you worked on your shooting? Why your legs wasn't working, why wasn't you sitting down, shooting a basketball at like, work on your form? That whole year you're off. Why aren't you working on your game?
Chris Bosh and Ben Simmons are the same height. Chris Bosh didn't learn how to shoot until his second, maybe third year playing with the Heat. He was already, what, 6 years, 7 years in the league. Why nobody didn't say nothing about him shooting?
Chris Bosh always had a mid-range game. Always.
Not necessarily, no.
He didn't have a three-point game. Chris, he always had a mid-range.
Chris Bosh was a post player.
Yeah, he was a post player that had a 12 to 15 range jumper.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, like, I'm not going to jump on that narrative. If that's, like I said, the statement is true. You need to learn how to shoot to be great in this league today. However, I think it's false because I'm not going to put that type of pressure on a player who, from his first year to his second year, improved drastically.
Okay.
Just his game knowledge, his overall game, it improved drastically from year one to year two. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, you know what? We need to trade him to make a championship run because, you know, like, this man could possibly be the next LeBron or the next Kawhi Leonard. He's the next face of the NBA league. LeBron wasn't shooting that well when he first came in. LeBron picked up his consistent three-point shot in his second run with the Cleveland. Okay. That's when he really learned how to shoot a three-pointer. And we called him the best before he even picked up that three-point shot. You're gonna trade right now a very, very clear great player in the future simply because he can't shoot right now in year two. I think that's a dumb move. And I don't think the team is better with him off of it and inserting Chris Paul in it. I do not think the team is better.
Boom, you just gave me right back to my point.
Go ahead.
Markelle Fultz, an ex-Philly player that currently was a number one pick that couldn't shoot.
Okay.
You wrote him off.
I wrote him off because he sits two and he's a true legit point guard and he cannot shoot, nor can he run the offense. Whoa, right now, he's nothing.
His one college career. Why can't
we in the NBA? Everything I said about Ben Simmons was NBA. I didn't mention anything about LSU. I didn't mention anything about Australia. Okay. I mentioned everything he's doing in the NBA. His year one, he led the team to the playoffs. His year two, he led the team to the playoffs and was better in year two than year one. I believe he can improve his shot. Markelle Fultz have been shot since he got in the league. He haven't done anything. So I'm not going to say, oh, well, he has a chance of improving. No, he got to show me that he have a chance of being in this damn league before he have a chance of being a great player. That is totally different. Stop inserting your sorry ass team into these elite conversations. I'm tired of that, man. Your team is garbage, bro.
Let's go ahead and make a wager that Orlando is a fifth seed or better. I'm not going to say because they were a seventh seed last year. So I'm up the ante. Make them, if they're fifth seed or better, you have to rock for an entire year going to any sporting event, basketball, football, or baseball, or Orlando personalized jersey with your number, with your name, your name wig, and the number.
I go at five.
Number five.
Okay.
For a whole year.
All right.
From the moment they make the playoffs.
Let's do this better. Whoever have the better season out of the Heat in Orlando, that's how we're gonna do the bet.
I'm saying if Orlando becomes a better team than that they were last year.
Okay, no problem. Because I already won a bet. You said fifth seed or better. All right, then I write the jersey. Cool, yeah. Fine by me. I know that's a gimme loss. I know that's a gimme loss. So, and if they don't, your ass gonna rock a fucking dress to a Dolphin game. How about that?
Oh, come on. Now you're trying to make me wear a dress? No, you're trying to defile my character.
I'm not. You're trying to make me wear a dress, too.
How is that a dress? A Orlando Magic jersey is not a dress.
Yes, it is. It's equivalent to a damn dress.
I will wear a Dolphins jersey.
No, I'm not trying to give you no swag. That's swag right
now. Wow. Really?
See, because you know your team garbage. That's why you say you want me to wear Orlando Magic team because you know your team garbage.
I just want me
walking around Orlando Magic. People gonna laugh at me walking around in Orlando Magic jersey.
You just have to become a fan for a year, and I'll wear whatever jersey you need me to wear for a year.
Whatever jersey
you need me to wear for a year.
All right, you for the wear Cavs, Wally's, Zerbiak jersey. That's what you for the wear. Matter of fact, the Cavs is good. Then I'm gonna give you a Cavs Dion Waiters jersey. They was garbage.
All right, so the next move that happened via free agency, even though it's not as relevant, Danny Green did sign to LA as well.
Uh-huh.
Instead of
the signings, let's talk about like the teams as of right now.
Okay, the power moves. Yes, Houston did acquire Russell Westbrook, as I did mention that Chris Paul was traded to OKC, and that was how it happened. Russell Westbrook signed to Houston. Well, not signed, but was traded to Houston, and that sucked for the Heat because the Heat thought they were going to get a Russell Westbrook. But yep. Not happening.
It don't suck for the Heat. I'm glad he's not in Miami. I'm glad he's in Houston. I am astounded about that. Wow. Go ahead.
I actually, to be honest, that made them. They was already top four in the East before that. I mean West before that. Now I like them top two, top one, probably top the number one.
Who, Houston?
Yeah. Let me give you my point. Why? 10 years previously, before, you know, the big split, that's what I'm going to call it, the biggest move, dumbest move OKC could have ever done. Those guys played like, and this is before James Harden shooting, those guys played like a LeBron Wade athleticism-wise. They played on a mental capability knowing that okay, I can ISO this player knowing that I have one of the best slashers in the league, best young slashers in the league, and that's speaking on both of them, vice versa.
Okay.
So now you add James Harden shooting to that. Not saying he's always going to give the ball up because of the analytics, blah, 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 but he has a player he know wants that stat of, okay, I'm going to grab this rebound because I know my dog will shoot it and possibly make it 90, 60%, 70% of the time. But if he don't, I'm going to work my ass off to grab this rebound and give us another chance at it. He has the tenacity to play both sides of the ball, as he does. And now it's a better, you know, someone controlling that second team. It's not a Chris Paul at a sluggish, you know, slow and hold it down pace. It's a Russell Westbrook usage, probably gonna go down a little bit, but it's a better Chris Paul. He's gonna get more rebounds than Chris. He's gonna try to do way more. He's gonna try to assist better than Chris. His shooting's probably not gonna be as good as Chris, but his play style is gonna elevate the team, I believe. To that, okay, I've been to the finals. You never been to the finals. Let's get to the finals. Let's.
When you say you never been to the finals, who are you? Who is the you?
Oh, I apologize. Not. I mean, in Houston, Jersey, you came here and didn't get there.
So okay, but they got there together.
Yeah, they got there together. What I'm saying.
So he can't say that.
Let's do it again. Let's make another run. Let's do it again.
All right.
Let's make this happen. Now it's us two. We don't have a KD or, you know, we don't have someone more so telling us what to do because he felt he was the best, one of the best players, which he is. Now they have, all right, let's do it our way. We got these young jumpers.
Make your point, bro. Yeah. You done changed the approach four times and never made it.
No. I'm saying that, like, I like them in that West. I like them in that hurt West.
All right, so I'll say I like Houston. Like, they could possibly be the number one seed or the number two seed in the regular season. I'm not gonna diminish that because they have two great regular season players. Like they when it comes to regular season, I would say Westbrook and James Harden could possibly be top 10 all time if you want to just go with regular season. But if regular season was the only season that we had in the NBA, they'll be top 10 all time because of how they play in the regular season. However, in the playoffs, they're gonna fall. They're gonna fall quick because Westbrook cannot carry a playoff team, nor can James Harden carry a playoff team. That year that they actually had a chance to make it to the finals, it wasn't because of James Harden's play; it was because of Chris Paul's play. If Chris Paul didn't go down with that hamstring injury, they would be in the championship playing against Cleveland, and Cleveland would win instead of Golden State beating Cleveland. Matter of fact, sweeping Cleveland because I think that's what happened.
Yeah, they did. All right, so
go ahead.
Let's go to another duo, new duo. We could talk about a little bit about LeBron and AD.
Let's rank the duos. You like for the whole entire season, playoffs and regular season, you like Westbrook and James Harden as the top duo in this league.
If you want to rank them.
Because you said they're going to be the number one seed.
But I'm saying, yeah, they're going to be number one seed because of the team-wise. Their roster is still kind of filled out now. It's not like much changed about the roster. They still have a Tucker. They still have a...
Gordon?
They have the center. They have, you know, they re-signed Green. They still have a roster. So it's duo-wise, I want to do the duo-wise ranking, chemistry, and star power. So, with the Houston duo, chemistry-wise, I'm going to give it a...
Just rank them how you think they exist together. You don't got to break it down to subtitle. Who do you think is the better duo?
Who
do you think
is the best duo right now? The best duo, I'm gonna have to give it to LeBron and AD. They're the best duo, but team-wise, yeah, the team is not there yet. Duo-wise, they're the number one duo. Number two duo, I'm going to have to go with Paul George and Kawhi. Team-wise, they're there team-wise. Their roster is filled out. Kawhi, to me, is the best player in the league, and Paul George is probably top 10 in the league. So, yeah, they're wise. Number two. Number three, Houston. I'm going to say Houston because they have top 10 players in the league. They're one top five and another one top 10 again. Number four, this one's hard. Number four, I will say Giannis and Middleton. Number four. Middleton is still up and coming. He's a top 20 player in the league.
And Giannis is that great that he can carry that duo.
Yeah,
I got Giannis
is that good. He's going to carry that duo back to the Eastern Conference Final.
All right.
Number five, I will go with a tie. Hurt KD and Kawhi. Not Kawhi.
You can't even count that. He's not playing all next year. He's not even hurt. He's injured. All right. So you're going with Kyrie and whoever else you think is going to be.
I can't say Curry and Klay because he's hurt all next year.
Not all next year. He's coming back in the middle of the year.
All right. So I'll play.
But Curry and Draymond is better than.
Nah, ooh. Hell nah. Nah, I'm not going to say Curry. Draymond is better than Klay and Curry. Nah.
Yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm saying Curry and Draymond can be better than whoever else you think could run for that number five.
Yeah, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Even Curry and Draymond, number five is better than a lot of these other players. But Clay and Curry, even Clay being hurt, is still better than a lot of these other players. So
true.
I'm gonna put Clay and Curry right there at five. Number six, I will say Joel and Ben.
Let's just end it there. And let's not make a whole list. Yeah, let's not make a whole 10 list.
I was gonna do eight. You know, just because.
That's just too many. Yeah. That's just too damn many. Because the eighth best duo don't have a chance of making the championship. We need
top to three. Our top six.
Not just top three. I mean, I think top five is like the top five choices is who basically you'll think would be going to the championship because of their duo.
Okay.
My number one, of course, is the same as yours, LeBron and AD, because I think they have the most talent out of all the duos, overall talent. And then number two, of course, I'm going to piggyback off yours, is Kawhi and Paul George. They have the second most talent collectively as a duo. And I think they have the best two-way talent out of the duos in the league. And then number three, I'm going to go with Giannis and Middleton, basically because they've done it already, and now they're just a year better with a year more training in the off season. So I think they're gonna be better than they did next year than they were on this previous season. Number four, I'm gonna go with the duo who made it to the conference championship last year, and what's some boy's name? Oh God, I can't think of their name. McCollum and Dame Dollar.
Okay, okay.
I'll put them number four, and then I'll put number five, Harden and Westbrook, because regular season do matter, and I think their regular season will allow them to have a lesser opponent in the first round, because I think they're going to dog this regular season together, honestly. Unless Westbrook get hurt, and I do predict Westbrook to get hurt this year, and I'm talking about a major injury where he's going for double digits game.
Okay,
I predict that because it's the way he played, the intensity he plays with, he's getting to that age where something is going to break. He's not LeBron. His body is not a LeBron type body where it could sustain so much damage and still hold up. His body is a little bit more fragile than LeBron's. It's not stocky like LeBron's is. So I think this year is the injury year because he's going to try to prove something, and something's going to tear or something. I hope it don't happen, but I predict that it will happen.
All right, so that was your number five? Your number six?
That's my number five. And my number six will be Curry and Draymond.
Okay, okay. All right, so, yep, that's pretty much the free agency and the best duo.
And the trades. I mean, let me before we end it, how do you feel about OKC roster? Because I looked at it yesterday, and, I was going with the narrative that them boys are just garbage, but they still have a team. In my perspective, if the Clippers could not win, but make it to the playoffs last year, and not only make it to the playoffs, but go to six games against the top team who made it to the championship, I believe OKC could do some playoff noise with the roster that they have right now.
All right, let me burst your bubble.
Okay.
Who's coaching OKC?
Billy Donovan.
And who's coaching the Clippers?
Doc Rivers.
Boom. That's it.
I don't think Billy Donovan is a bad coach.
I didn't say he was.
I think Billy Donovan got put into a situation where he was coaching people who didn't want to be coached because they felt as if they were just too good.
I didn't say he wasn't. He was. What I'm saying is Doc Rivers could turn water into wine when it comes to players.
That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Because Doc Rivers was on the verge of getting fired.
Remember what I said?
Go ahead. Remember,
let me finish. Doc Rivers had, and this is his supposedly good team. Doc Rivers had Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Jamal Crawford, J.J. Reddick.
All right. Now, realize those players on that roster.
Okay.
Who is the one player that always had complaints as a teammate?
Chris Paul.
Boom. Who is on the OKC roster right now?
Chris Paul.
Boom. You just settled my point right there. Chris Paul killed a lot of teams.
Chris Paul killed a lot of teams.
Yes, he killed a lot of teams. A lot of, I'm not OKC, but when Blake and when Deion, a lot of the players complained about Chris in Houston. I'm not going to say a lot of players, but the main player complained about Chris in New Orleans when he was down there. They complained about playing with Chris. So now, however the roster is filled out in OKC, yeah, it's okay, roster is okay. But you have a young rookie and say Alexander, Gilgeous Alexander, I apologize, that is the top point guard. Now you put Chris Paul there, you're stunting his growth. We don't know how Chris is going to work knowing he's the main guy again. And him being the main guy again, his body's not going to last an 82-game season. Yeah. That's, to me, that's a 43 at the most win team. In a stacked West. Yeah.
The West is always considered, with quotation marks, stacked.
It's not
But they always have problems with the East.
It's not happening. What I'm
what you saying with the, like you telling me that every team he played for, they had problems with him. I don't remember these reports. The only reports I remember that Chris Paul had problems with was this most recent one with James Harden. And then when it came to that, it wasn't a team issue. It was a ego issue between the two superstars on the team. And it split the locker room. So it wasn't like the team had a problem with Chris Paul. It was team Chris Paul that had a problem with team Harden. When it came to the Clippers, at the end of that tenure, Chris Paul started complaining about Blake Griffin not giving enough. And I think that was the issue because you keep going to the playoffs with all of these hopes and admirations that you're gonna do good, and then you get swept or you lose to a team that you didn't supposed to lose to. You know, it's frustrating. So you're going to start pointing fingers. But before that happened, they were in love with each other. You remember DeAndre Jordan had a chance to go to Dallas, and he allowed Chris Paul and Blake Griffin to sit in his living room and lock him in and redirect him back to the Clippers. So, I mean, you're not going to do that for a person that you don't like. So that's why I'm going to dispute that. And then at New Orleans, they love Chris Paul there. If it's no Chris Paul, there's no conference championship attendance. If it's no Chris Paul, there's no playoff attendance. There's no 60-game win season.
So why trade him to L.A. if the trade didn't get, you know, rescinded by the league? Why would you trade that great of a player that he was at that point in his career?
Because the ceiling was made. The ceiling was made. You realize
he was at he was at the prime of his career. Like he was still building.
He was there, but he wanted to leave himself because the ceiling was made. It was all the ceiling was extremely visible. There was no more potential after that ceiling. It was very visible. He himself wanted to go. Because he knew he wasn't going to win a championship there. What? And the reason why he knew he wasn't going to win a championship there, because there was a guy named Kobe Bean Bryant on the other side of that spectrum.
You want to know something about that New Orleans team?
What?
Four players from that roster made it to the championship and won it. Peja Stojakovic, David West.
Who Stojakovic won it with?
Dallas. David
West. He was on that Dallas team that won?
Yeah, he was.
He didn't play much.
He didn't play, but he was.
Okay, so you can't. No, like, don't do that. Don't do that, dog. Because you had me thinking, like, damn, did I miss something? And that concludes our episode for today. We'd like to thank you guys for patiently waiting for a new episode. And thank you guys for sitting in on this extended episode. It was so much that we missed that we want to make sure that we catch up as much as possible.
Yeah, it's been about 3 weeks time, I believe, or a little bit before we got another episode in. We guys are going to do you fans a favor and you listeners out there, where we're going to provide an episode to you guys every Friday from now on. So we have an episode a week, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff coming out these up and coming weeks. About 44 days left until football season, and we're going to give you the best picks we could possibly give you for the duration of the whole season.
True. And football would be a lot better than baseball. Our team are considered experts in the college football, NFL, college basketball, NBA. So, yeah, we'll have some parlays picks for you guys as well. In the meantime, you can download the Anchor app, follow us on Anchor, as well as like our podcast. And if you want to be a part of the show, you can also ask us questions. We will include that question on the show. However,
and we'll give you a shout out with your question. So whatever your at name is, or whatever you write us on Instagram, via Twitter, via Facebook, you ask us questions. We're gonna start giving out basically shout outs to whoever is asking the questions, and let us know if you want off of any of our picks. Again, we said this in our previous podcast. Let us know that you want off any of our picks. We also give you a shout out for that. You know. And right now, you know, you guys are kind of keeping us afloat, you know. We're getting a Cash App here or there. You know, like I said, we're going to give you the Cash App name. You know, whatever you want to contribute towards the podcast, it'll do us a great favor.
True that. Yeah, and when you do ask the questions on the podcast site, on the Anchor site, please make sure that you stay respectful. Anything that's disrespectful to the community or to the show itself, we will just ignore. As far as following us on our social sites, on Twitter, it is at SGPodcast305. That's at S as in Sam, G as in Goat, Podcast305. Instagram is at Sporting Goods Podcast, at Sporting Goods Podcast. And then Facebook, Sporting Goods Podcast, and search for it. We're the only ones with the name. It was a pleasure having this episode. Trav, I'll see you on another time, my brother, but we about to be out, all right?
All right, cool.
True that. In the words of Pops the Millionaire, yickity.
And howdy do.
We'll be out. Holler at you guys. Appreciate you.